right, here we go, and it's time for Fast Track. Momo's in for John, so Momo, you get to do the coin flip today. On one side of the coin, the mighty Utah Jazz. Oh. I stand with the Jazz. Other side of the coin, it's the Clippers tonight. Call it in the air.
I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Let's go with Jazz it is.
Oh. Jazz it is. Nice. I elect to defer. No All advantage right. goes with that, Momo.
Okay, so we've been hearing about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck back together as a couple, but they were finally...
Bennifer.
I mean, we've heard this before. Yeah.
Ben Lowe.
In the New York Post, page 6, they were photographed having a steamy session at Nobu in Malibu on Sunday.
Oh.
They appeared mad about each other, according to the New York Post, okay?
Yep.
Steve, is there any way that this reunited couple, this long-lost flame, makes it? That's part one of this question. And part two, have you ever had a relationship where you like broke up for 10, 15 years, got back together, and made it work?
I've never had such a relationship. Generally speaking, my exes, I've got nothing to do with, right? I'm not connected.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say I have no interest. Yep. I wish them all well, my many exes.
Yeah.
How many exes do you have out there floating around, Momo?
Not that many, to be honest. Like, I had a few people like I dated, but nothing serious. Nevin and I got together really young. I was like 21.
Yeah, I
kind of boring.
Have never gotten back together with somebody that I had broken up with. That has never happened to me.
Have you guys ever like date? Did you guys have high school sweethearts?
Yes.
No.
Emily Weber was my heart.
I was too busy. I was like playing softball and doing...
I've always wondered, like, I know a lot of people actually back home. This is like a Midwest thing, I think.
Yeah.
Where there's probably 3 or 4 either family friends or like my brother's friends' parents where they dated in high school. They, you know, went off in their separate ways, got married, got divorced. And on like their second or even third marriage, they got reunited with their high school sweetheart after they met up at like the high school reunion. Do you guys know people who've done that?
I know Sue Kalinske, who's my partner on the Culture Pop podcast, grew up with a friend named Tom in Long Island. And years later in Los Angeles, out in Long Beach, re-engaged with Tom, and now they are married together. But there was like 25 or 30 years between when they knew each other in high school and when they ultimately got married.
I know a couple of high school couples who were totally not couples in high school. Like, we had the homecoming queen or the prom queen. I can just say her name. That's why her name was Danielle Ohana, okay? She was like the gorgeous, really popular, nice girl. Like, everybody liked her. She was prom queen. And she ended up marrying this guy who, like, nice guy and all, but wow. Like, would not have predicted that in high school at all.
Yeah.
Like, we were all like, oh, wow, Danielle and Joey got together. Whoa. And they're, like, married, have kids now.
Well, I'm rooting for Ben Lowe. I hope it works out for those two kids.
Ben Lowe.
But who knows? Maybe they now appreciate what they had together. All right.
It feels like a rebound to me.
It's to me. I have gotten multiple tweets over the last couple of months from Lakers fans asking essentially this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still going to be some kind of championship celebration for Lakers fans for the 2020 World Championship?
Yes.
Is there a way to do this that makes sense?
You know what? I was just talking about this the other day, Mace. Like, you know, I know Jeannie Buss said, like, hey, we're going to do this when everybody can celebrate. Tomorrow. It's like June 15th.
Tomorrow.
The mask mandate is lifted. But do you feel like it? I mean, like, a whole season has happened. They've already lost. Like, I don't know. People still want to do this? Do the guys still want to do this? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too late.
Yeah.
I think it's too late. Unfortunately, I don't think, as Laker fans, we will ever be able to fully celebrate the 2020 championship. And after having been ousted from the playoffs this year in the first round, it seems inappropriate to have some kind of celebration right now.
It kind of does.
Plus,
what about
guys,
the Dodgers?
Those guys are gone. Guys are gone. You know, Dwight Howard's gone. JaVale McGee is gone. Rajon Rondo's gone. They've got a bunch of players that were on the 2020 team that weren't on this year's team. You're going to rally those guys back to take part in it? It just can't be done anymore.
Yeah, I just think it's like the moment's passed. I think it's
Lindsay referenced the Dodgers. Could the Dodgers do it?
They're still. I think that the Dodgers could still do
could.
It this year because they haven't started the playoffs yet and been booted.
Right, that's right. I agree with you on that. Because to me, it's. I think they're still the reigning champs. No one else has won. But
Correct.
By the time the Lakers would be able to plan a parade, like we're in the middle of the playoffs. They've already lost, and somebody else is going to be the champion this year. So the Dodgers have some time. I don't know how they're going to do it because they're in the middle of the season. There's not a lot of off days, but like you can make it happen. You can probably do that.
Yeah, I think we wait until we win this year's championship.
Yeah.
Because I feel I'm feeling good about this team now. They're playing really, really well. Even though they lost Max Muncy over the weekend, they're playing really well. They got Tony Gonsolin back. He's throwing tonight.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, by the way, is grand reopening of Dodger Stadium. And if you're headed to the game, it is Justin Turner bobblehead night, which is cool.
Yeah.
Also, they've got a brand new center field sort of pavilion place. When I went to Dodger Stadium, I went and checked it out. It's fantastic. There's a Shake Shack. There's all kinds of stuff out in center field. And for the first time, left and right field pavilions have a sort of go-between connection. So really cool. If you
That's
go to the game,
big.
Definitely go check that out.
That is really big. That there's.
Have you been out there yet, Momo?
I have. I went to one game. I'm going to tell you, I will miss my social distance. I have gotten used to having space. I've gotten used to no lines. So I'm thrilled for the world and the stadium and the Dodgers owners' bottom lines. But I'm bummed out.
You still have to park.
I know.
Parking at Dodger Stadium. You would think somehow they could figure out parking at Dodger Stadium,
nope.
But it's just never, ever been done. All right, Momo, it's to you.
All right.
Fast track.
So you brought up Lamar Odom, and he had that fight against the Aaron Carter and all that. But he did a really interesting story in the LA Times the other day, and it's about this new documentary that he's had about his life where he talks about how psychedelic drugs, ketamine and ibogaine, saved him from his drug addiction. Sounds a little counterintuitive. Drugs save you from drug addiction. Okay. But he said the drug saved his life. And the film Lamar Odom Reborn was directed by Mike Zappy Zeppelin, who coordinated the psychedelic intervention for Odom. You know, I used to read a book called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
I know that book very well. It's a strong recommend for me.
Mace, you're kind of like my go-to on all things drug-related.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank
you know, you're like an expert in this field. Is there something to this? Is there like more, to, you know?
There is something to it, and I don't fully understand it. But some of these psychedelic drugs are now being used in micro doses. So they're microdosing
That's
people
what he did.
With these psychedelic drugs, and it's been helpful with PTSD for soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and the Middle East who've been involved in crises over there. There's something to it. I don't know if we have a complete handle on it yet.
Yep.
I certainly don't, but I know it is being used in this microdosing way. Lindsay, do you know anything about that?
I do know a ton about it, actually, because Joe Rogan has had a few people on his podcast.
You are a Joe Rogan person, aren't you?
She is Joe Rogan's biggest fan.
But this is one of my...
Even though he's 5'3".
Hey,
exactly.
I'm 5'2", it's okay.
Literally. He's had a lot of guests on to talk about this exact thing. And he just had somebody on about a week ago where they talked a lot about how, like, the benefits, like, he's a scientist, and it's, like, the scientific benefits of these psychedelic drugs and how they can kind of, like, in a way, like, reboot your brain, like, you know, rebooting a computer. And I mentioned this last week. Mike Tyson talked about it with, you know, one of the documentaries he recently did. He said that completely changed his life when he did a couple, like three or four doses of I think it was psychedelic mushrooms. And then there's also an NHL player that's like advocating for this company that is starting to do these treatments with people. And I guess you can like go into a place and sit down in a chair and be treated with psychedelics, and they monitor your progress and all that stuff. So I'm open to trying it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know the science behind it. I've never done a lot. I did mushrooms in college. I never did thank you, Ding. I never did mushrooms after that. I had a bad experience with mushrooms. Momo, have you ever tried mushrooms?
No, but you know what? My take on this was, I was like, when I had my back stuff, I had to be on all these different kinds of painkillers. And it wasn't until you turned me on to just edibles and other types of pharmacology, okay?
Yep.
Secretary of Agriculture, you.
Sure.
I was like, I think your style of medicine is way better than those painkillers. Those painkillers are dangerous, man.
They are.
They're real, and that is really dangerous stuff that you can get hooked on it. Like, I noticed the more you do, the less effective it was. I can totally see how people could get hooked on that. And just because the difference is it's regulated, so you know that when you take that dose, that's not really how much is in there. So I'm open to all of this kind of stuff. There's probably a lot of compounds that would that are seen as psychedelic drugs that are, you know, when you take a codeine or something, it's probably the same thing, right? It's just regulated. So I'm open to it as long as we can regulate it in a safe way.
Okay. It's to me. So
fast track.
The Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks series has changed dramatically. Kyrie Irving has been ruled out for Game 5 already. Here's what's interesting. He rolled his ankle.
All the way to the floor,
too. Yeah.
Yuck.
So, and I think just looking at that injury, it's hard to believe he will be back in this series. Do you think?
Could. I think he could. Yeah.
Okay. So, what's weird in Vegas right now is that the Brooklyn Nets are still the favorites to win the NBA title.
Mm.
But they are underdogs to win this series against Milwaukee. Explain that to me like I'm a fourth grader.
They still have Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Yep.
But they're underdogs to Milwaukee, but favorites to win it all.
Yeah, I think I think people see it as Harden and Kyrie are hurt. So if they can come back later in the playoffs, they're definitely
should be the favorites. That makes perfect sense.
Right? But they still have Kevin Durant. He's really good. I still think they might win this series. I think they should win this series. I think they'll win Game 5 tomorrow with only Kevin Durant.
With only Durant.
Yeah, they're in Brooklyn. I think they'll get a favorable whistle because Steve Nash is right. PJ Tucker was really aggressive and physical with Kevin Durant in that game. You're going to get a favorable whistle not only when you come home, but once you called it out and then sent tape to the league office.
Right,
and
right.
Yada, yada. And Kevin Durant is amazing. Amazing. Kevin Durant is awesome. Like, I can't believe he had an Achilles.
He's the best player still standing in the playoffs.
I can't believe he had an Achilles. My goodness.
Yeah. All right, last one for you, Momo.
All right, I'll make it quick. I'll just do a
fast track.
I was going to do a Kim Kanye thing, but we'll do basketball since you did basketball. So, Nikola Jokic was ejected from yesterday's game when he did a hard foul on Cameron Johnson from the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
Reigning MVP, elimination game, second half. A lot of NBA stars came out and said that should have just been a flagrant one. But did Jokic not get the MVP treatment, or should he have been kicked out?
He did not get the MVP treatment. He should not have been kicked out. It was clearly a frustration foul. Maybe that's a flagrant one, but I do not think that you eject the MVP of the league from a playoff game when they're scuffling in Game 4 of a 7-game series. So, yeah, I don't think he got the MVP treatment, and I think he should.
I do, too. I mean, I looked at it, and I think he got hurt by the fact that it was reviewed, because there is a pretty clear rule. Like, if you swing at a guy like that, and you can see he's like fully swings his arm. I mean, once you see that on replay, you can't, they're almost boxed in and they have to call it a flagrant two.
Yeah.
But if it wouldn't have gone to replay, I think the officials on the court could have just said it's a flagrant one, whatever. He's going to learn from that. But nobody wanted to see the end of that game, a closeout game without the MVP on the court.
No, and not at all.
Yeah. And it was unfortunate because they probably would have lost anyway, but I don't know. It was a bad foul.
I thought it was somewhat disrespectful to him.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But it's like if you win an MVP in the woods and no one's there to see it, do you still get
that's
the MVP?
Fair. I mean,
he has never gotten that whistle.
All right. Yep. Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Get a car that's just sitting around not being used. Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right. Coming up next for you. Westminster Dog Show. Did you see the winner, Momo?
Talk to me.
Okay. We will explain that next. Plus, Chrissy Teigen in more trouble. Got that coming up for you. Anytime you want to ring in to the show, no matter what we're talking about, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet the show at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at Ramona Shelburne, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at Ramona Shelburne.
I'll make you spell it. It's okay.
And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's up? Momo.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I was in for John today. Now, I tweeted out a picture, and it's on Instagram, at Venice Mace. It's on Twitter, at Venice Mace. What I saw while I was driving out, and by the way, happy birthday, 79th birthday to my mom. She's 79 going on 17.
Oh, I heard how you embarrassed her on the radio.
She embarrassed. She did it.
You were like, oh, you're 80. She was like, we don't need to talk about that out loud.
Yeah, we don't.
Steve.
We don't. But she, happy
she's
birthday
awesome,
to my
way.
Mom. She's the best. And yeah. While I was driving out there, I saw this thing floating in the sky. And I took a picture of it. It is long. It's oblong. It's silver or white, I would say, right?
Yeah. Shiny. Definitely shiny.
Shiny. Definitely shiny. And it's just sitting there. And what happened was it was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, after about 10, 20 minutes, it just went straight up in the air and disappeared.
Whoa.
Just flew.
How do you know? Were you sitting there for 20 minutes watching it?
Yeah. It was far away. I was on the 10.
Okay.
And we were near Beaumont. And you know how it's just, it's endless out
yeah.
there, right? It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
nonstop. You're on the
They got
a
lot
tent.
Of like of those windmills and stuff on that drive.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And this is what I saw. So in your mind, is that an unidentified flying object?
Well, by definition, it is.
Correct. It's a UFO.
Unidentified flying object. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's aliens in it. I mean, look, I have a Nest camera that we look at Daniel when he's sleeping.
Yep.
And I swear there's ghosts. I see lots of little flying things that go through there. And I'm like, it's probably just the way the light hits. It's like the infrared light. But sometimes I just think there's like ghosts in there. I'm like, what is that? What is that? I think there's a lot of optical illusions when we see things like this. But I mean, if it was sitting there for 20 minutes, it really does look like UFO.
Plus, yeah. Mace, look at how blurry that billboard is, man. Like you're moving. That's nothing, Mace. I don't know what that is, but that is not a UFO.
That is, well, okay. What is it?
Well,
I don't know. Can you identify it?
Dude, it's stretched out. Look at the blurred billboard on there.
It's a blurred billboard.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying, Momo?
Yeah, it is a blurry.
Exactly.
It could theoretically be a plane.
Wait, did you zoom?
Did I zoom?
Yeah, did you zoom when you took the picture? Like, did you zoom in on your camera?
Yeah, I always zoomed in, yeah.
Here's a trick. And when you want to take a picture of something really far away before you zoom, take the picture of it and then just crop it because
right.
then it doesn't get all blurry. Just saying, do that
Mace.
Next time.
I can't, Jorge, I thought of all people on the show, you would be with me.
No, Mace, like, look, I'm looking at the billboard. It's distracting and it's blurred. So then there's nothing to see here.
So you think that's nothing?
Probably a plane that you kind of got like almost time-lapsing.
Exactly.
Right? Because if the billboard's blurry, that means the plane's blurry.
Oh, damn. I still think it's something. All right, so the Westminster Dog Show was over the weekend. Momo, do you follow the Westminster
Not
Dog
really,
Show?
Not really, no. Yeah.
So it's a thing. And
yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, they do it once a year. I think it's in Philly. And the winner of this year's dog show was a Pekingese named Wasabi.
Okay.
And I'm actually tweeting out a picture.
All right.
And I don't understand how this dog of all dogs would have won.
All right, I want to see.
It is a Pekingese. It's like a small fluff of hair with four small legs coming out.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at that.
Now, does that look like a dog show champion?
Dude, that looks like a hamster.
It's a hairball.
Yeah, it's a hairball.
It's a hairball.
What's happening here?
Yeah.
That looks like he needs a haircut.
So Barry Bonds brought his dog and competed at the Westminster Dog Show in a weird...
This one?
Apart, yeah.
It's like the guy. You know what it is? It's a gremlin. That's a gremlin.
It does. It looks like a gremlin. That's a very good call. It looks like a gremlin. It is really a fluff of hair. Lindsay, does that look like a dog show champion to you?
No, I was a little disappointed when I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I saw a lot of people tweeting about it.
Yep.
And there was another dog. I'm trying to think. The one that was, it was in the finals with it. I'll look it up. But the other dog should have won. I feel like this thing was just one of those weird, like, yip-yappy type of dogs, you know? That's just like, meow, 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 that chases you around.
Yeah.
You know, not a fan.
So I mentioned Barry Bonds has his dog at the show, which is kind of weird, right? Barry Bonds and his dog named Ripple.
He's weird, though. So,
Ripple,
like, not surprising.
Competed.
Yeah.
Do you think dogs like competing in dog shows?
No. No.
Is it some? Is it good for the dog?
I mean, they get a lot of attention, I guess. But they have
do
to,
get a lot of attention.
I imagine it'd be like, do I think if I made my 2-year-old into an actor, do I think he would enjoy that? Not really. He doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, he gets to, like, he has to read lines and sit on set all day and do all this. I mean.
Yeah, I wonder if dogs are at all happy
yeah.
When they're in dog shows.
They get attention. I think that's probably what they like.
Yeah, somebody sent out a picture of Chewbacca. He does look a little bit like Chewbacca, that championship dog, too. Yeah, what a weird dog. What a weird dog to win. All right, so she's in the news all the time now for some problem or another. Of course, I'm talking about Chrissy Teigen. So Chrissy Teigen, to the best of my knowledge, her skill, her best skill, the reason why people know who she is that she's married to John Legend, right?
She's a model. She has a career as a...
Yeah, she was a swim. Yeah. She was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model.
She was.
That's a real job. That's a real job. Yeah.
So during the finale of The Voice, VRBO ran a commercial featuring Chrissy Teigen.
All right.
And it's the same Chrissy Teigen who told multiple teenage girls to kill themselves on social media.
What?
Yeah. That's what she did.
What?
Yep. The outrage about Chrissy Teigen really blew up. The ad has never run again. Chrissy Teigen is not the spokesperson for VRBO anymore. VRBO released this statement, quote, VRBO is a place for everyone and leaves no room for hate. If you mistreat people, there's no space for you on RVBO. VRBO. My question is this. Lindsay and Momo and Jorge, she sent out these tweets telling teenage girls to kill themselves. How long should the penalty be? In other words...
She really did that?
Yeah, she absolutely did.
I want to see what the actual tweets were.
Yeah, they were.
She literally said things like "go kill yourself" and stuff like that.
Wow!
So, did she lose her job because she's being canceled, or did she lose her job?
That's a dangerous thing.
It's a terrible thing. I just read an article about teenage girls' suicide at like an all-time high or at a record high right now during the pandemic. And Chrissy Teigen's out there doing this. Ireland would say, well, she's being canceled because she said...
pretty bad.
She's dealing with the repercussions of the stupid stuff she did.
She DM'd this to somebody, so it wasn't like a... Because would she really do that publicly?
She did bully people too, like publicly. It wasn't. Yeah, this was years ago. That.
But the DMs. I mean, that sounds like wow.
She just posted a blog on Medium. I sent it to you guys.
Yeah.
Where she gets into her. This is just like the third time where she's like posted some type of like apology, I guess. And so like she's expounded upon that.
Let me just tell you, she should have stayed off Twitter.
Yeah.
She never should have come back on. She had the right idea when she left. I'm kind of getting very anti-social media, too. I've just become a different person.
Are you getting anti-social? I still think more good come from social media than bad.
No.
You're also
not
in my mentions. Have you been in my mentions? It's rough.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more and more toxic for me. And I just said, why am I doing this to myself? Like, why do I read this stuff? Why do I let this get in there?
Isn't that just part of your job, though?
It is. And so that's why I still am on there. But I tweet far less than I used to. And usually when I tweet, it's just like, you know, tweet out a story I did. Or
and
like,
Lindsay,
I retweet
you're all
you
in on social media. You're promoting
your
Instagram page. You're well, you know, I was actually more active on social media.
I was actually telling Morales last week, like, I was like, see, and this was like one of the reasons why I was hesitant to make an Instagram for like public use a long time ago, because people are just mean for no reason. Absolutely no reason. Like, remember the day I had my coffee stolen? So Ramona, on last week, I
heard about this. Yeah, I listened.
Yeah, the coffee delivery and someone just stole it and someone decided to DM me. And this isn't anything bad. This is very tame compared to some things. But they decided to DM me and say, well, maybe you should learn how to make your own coffee. And it's
God.
Like,
jeez,
that's not necessary. Like, what?
And they don't do it in a funny way. It's not funny.
Right,
it's like they're being serious.
I think that's a joke.
No, I think
it's
not.
It wasn't a joke. It definitely wasn't a joke.
Like
they were very rude about it.
Yeah, they're rude. You can tell. Like, there's some people, like, I used to just block everybody, and now I just, like, I almost don't even look at my mentions anymore.
Well,
it's just,
I mean,
it's
I
really
was
mean.
Bill Simmons always told me that he never looks at his mentions.
Yeah, you have
he'll He'll yeah. create content, but he never looks at the reaction that it's getting.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to do it. I still use it as a great resource, and I still think it's more good than bad. But yeah. obviously, you guys are
I also think you have a different role, too. Okay, so, like, you are just you're a personality. You're not supposed to be something, right? You're just supposed to be you.
Does that make anything? Supposed to be something.
I know. It's kind of true, though, right?
Yeah.
It kind of worked. I was searching for the right words, and I was like, yeah, that works, yeah. Like, you're not held up there as some expert in anything. You
Correct.
Know, you're not held up as a journalist or a serial.
I am the smartest person on the show. You know that, right?
Oh, I know that. You are very smart, but you don't tell anybody. But I think it's you're also a guy and you're a white guy.
So right. You, yeah. I know it's different for women. I know it's different for
definitely women. Different for women.
Actually, we'll circle back around to this. Coming up next, we're going to spin the Wheel of Questions. Now, have you heard about the Wheel of Questions?
No. Tell me about this.
So I've got a gigantic wheel, and it's got a whole bunch of different questions on it. And we spin it, and then it's always like a hypothetical.
Okay.
And then we react as best we can. We will spin the Wheel of Questions next. And then at 2:45, Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff. And Radio Tinder, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What a pro.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bro, what a broadcast
hey. Pro that is. Hey, what if I told you?
What if
I told you?
So, Momo, we've got this new thing. We installed it. Jorge installed it. It's called the Wheel of Questions. And it's this gigantic wheel, and it's like the Price is Right wheel.
Yeah.
And there's a different question on each spot on the wheel.
Do you know?
So we like to spin the wheel.
Yeah, I'm excited.
See what comes up.
Do you know that Price is Right was like appointment viewing for me growing up? Appointment viewing, like I would tape it.
No, really?
Yeah. Bob Barker and everybody. Like I think I want to go on that show someday. I think I would do it.
You would go, yeah, why not?
I'd be like the little girl, I can't reach the wheel and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
You're on your tippy toes trying to reach it.
Lindsay is trying to get on a game show with Greg
Bergman.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, Mace. We need you to be our coach for our hype video that we got to film this week.
Whatever you need. I am there for you. You know me. I'm there for the team.
You are.
Yeah, we got
stuff like this. Yeah,
we're gonna film our hype video on Wednesday. We got our official email yesterday saying we've moved on to the next round. So
nice.
Pretty pumped about that.
And what's the name of that show again?
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Fantastic.
What network is that on?
It's gonna be on CW, but it was on Nickelodeon.
Cool.
Okay, so they're very close to getting.
I like
it. So, Jorge, are we ready to spin the Wheel of Questions?
See.
Woo!
And it lands on. Ooh. Oh.
You're selling this. This is great.
This is a tough one. Would you rather?
Okay. Would you rather?
Die peacefully among friends at age 50 or painfully and alone at age 80, assuming that most of the last 30 years would be good ones.
Dang.
So would you rather die peacefully among friends at age 50 or painfully and alone at age 80.
Painful and alone. I would have lived longer than that. Come on.
You would go painful and alone.
You said the last 30 years would be good. So if I just, you know.
Yeah, most of the last 30 years would be good ones.
Yeah, and I wouldn't remember afterwards anyway. So the last, you know.
It's that easy for you.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay, what about you?
I 100% agree with Ramona. Like, first thing I thought of. No question. I would rather live longer because you have to think, yeah, you might be spending the last moments of your life peacefully with your family. But I would say those 30 years, I'd probably spend the majority of those
with my family. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather have 30 years than all of my last moment.
Yeah. I have a kid now. I want to be there for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jorge, what about you?
Yeah. I have a kid too. I'm with Momo here.
Yeah. Although the truth is, like, I probably am worth more dead than alive. Like,
Good life insurance policy. What I felt bad about, my grandmother lived to, I don't know, 91.
Yeah.
My grandmother lived to 91. And at the funeral, there was only us.
I know.
There was only family members because lots of her friends had passed away.
Yeah, that happens.
And I do think about what my memorial service is going to be like. I've got it all written down. You know, we're taking over Staples Center.
Yeah.
And that's where the ceremony is going to
be. Wait, you think you're gonna have your funeral ceremony at Staples Center?
At Staples Center, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what it'll kind of be like? I can already picture it. It's going to be exactly like your roast.
Right.
Literally, it's going to be exactly like your roast.
Yeah, do all the jokes. That's all
I
want.
Do you want to fill it up, though? Do you want it to be big?
Yes, I want it to be big.
Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah. Would you like a highlight video?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, all this, I won't even know about. I'm worried about things that I won't even know about. Won't even care about.
I think you will. I think
wait
people
a minute,
are
you
there.
Wait, you think in the post?
Yeah, I think people stay there.
You're already
going to
be dead. Yeah. So I don't think it matters. That's just my opinion. I remember my grandpa. Well, before my grandpa died, and we were asking him about certain things, he goes, "Who gives a bleep? I'm going to be dead." You're right, Grandpa.
That is a good way to look at life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why get caught up? You're going to be dead anyway. I'm with you guys. I would take 80, even if I die painfully and alone.
Also, by the time that happens, like, hopefully they'll have, you know, help with that.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, if you're on your way out and it's terminal and you're old and you're like, let's just do this. Let's just get this over with. They'll probably have a little more help with that.
So, Mama, one of the
I'm not going full Kevorkian. I'm just saying.
One of the questions from last week was... Yeah. What do you think happens to you when you die?
Whoa. Do you really want to go there? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that's what we're doing yeah. right now. What really happens
that's
to
what
you
we're
when
doing?
You die?
Okay. Yeah, my answer is I don't know. I think that I do believe that you have a soul. I believe in God. I don't know that we believe in a heaven or hell or anything, but I do think your soul sticks around for a while and you kind of look your energy and you're kind of looking out for the people around you. You're kind of in some place, right?
I have sort of that same kind of answer. I think people hang around. That was, by the way, one of the really tough wheel of questions from last week.
Yeah.
Really tough. I want to ask you if you saw Mayor of Easttown.
I did not. I have it queued up because I really want to watch it when I can enjoy it and I'm in my busy season with the playoffs.
Have you watched In the Heights?
I have not, but I know what it is.
It's fantastic.
I've watched, you know, I watched Hamilton, so I know I'm going to like Lin-Manuel
Miranda. Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it.
I watched Hamilton twice, so.
I thought the show was fantastic. I thought In the Heights was, I thought it was a great movie. I saw the show twice.
Is it better
stage.
Than Hamilton? Some people have said it's better, yeah.
For me, it is. For me, it's interesting because it's about community. It's about neighborhood. It's about family. It's about the family you choose opposed to the family you have. All that kind of stuff is what that show is about. And it's really positive and really uplifting. It's on HBO Max. I saw it in a theater. I was excited to get back into a movie theater. And I'm going to start going back regularly now that the masks come off tomorrow.
Well, you know what's cool about In the Heights is this was his first breakthrough show, right?
Correct.
And I always think that people's first breakthrough is really who they are because a lot of people they write about themselves. Okay, this
right.
is their life. This is what you know. This is your world. And so the fact that his second, I don't even know if it's his second, but that Hamilton actually is what
Hamilton
most
was
people,
a second.
People know Lin-Manuel Miranda from. That's actually really impressive because usually you've said everything you have to say about your life and it all goes into your big breakthrough, right?
Instead, he taught a history lesson.
Yeah.
Stuff I never knew about.
I never knew, and he reframed it totally different.
No idea who Hamilton was. I had no clue on that part of American history. So, yeah, no, that was genius. But this is different. This uplifting family, neighborhood, community.
That's where he grew up, right? It's like
I don't,
his life.
Washington Heights, I don't know if he grew up there or not, but that's what the show is about.
All right.
Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff for us. Linz, what do you got?
And I just want to say, if you want to be in the loop on the poll that I posted about Radio Tinder, one of my topics here, you can follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball, where you will find the poll to this story. Introduced by Capsula Mundi, an Italian company, organic burial pods are a new alternative to coffins. The idea with these organic burial pods is to place a body inside the biodegradable capsules, which in time will turn a person's remains into nutrients for a tree planted directly above.
Cool.
The practice of turning a dead body into a tree is sustainable and emits zero waste. The organic pods are available for around $500. Would you guys ever consider being buried in an organic burial pod? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I would do it. In fact, this is what Prince Philip from the UK, when he was married to the Queen, this is what he did. He did an environmentally friendly kind of burlappy kind of bag. I would not. I'm going to be cremated. I think it's the easiest thing. I think it takes a lot of the hassle out of it. I don't want a funeral. I don't want to spend for a burial plot. I don't want to spend for a headstone. I don't want my family to be lumbered with that sort of thing. So for me, it's much easier to be cremated and then kept at home like a shrine for, I was going to say for Juan to use, but I don't know.
A shrine?
Yeah, a shrine. I think my ashes should be part of a shrine.
Okay. Like a shrine is something that you like worship.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think that your ashes are worth worship?
I think they're, I mean, I have my two dogs' ashes and my dad's ashes here in the house. In a special place.
You can also have the ashes put into a smaller biodegradable capsule and have flowers or bushes or something planted on top of those.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think that's cool. I'm all about doing cool stuff for the environment.
I like the headstone thing. I don't know. I like the cremation idea. But, you know, I've gone to a lot of cemeteries. I know this. It's weird. I like cemeteries. It's interesting. They tell a story. I think, you know, you could come up with some kind of good
line. Have you
line.
Thought of an epitaph?
No, not yet, but I got some time.
What
hopefully.
Would Ramona's epitaph be? At Venice Mace, yeah. M-A-S-E, at Ramona
Shelburne. No, I got it, Mace. I know what it is.
What is it?
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
That's great. That's a great one.
Be there in 10. Running behind.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
See, what I would do is I would do the organic burial pot thing, which I've been telling my family for a while. I would like to do that. Have a tree planted above me and then have not necessarily a headstone, but a little plaque with my whatever on it. So you could do both.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, all the time when you're walking around outside, you see people who have like a bench that's in their honor.
Yeah.
Or you know, something like, I think that's cool. And I also like, you know, I've traveled around and I've done a lot of ancestry research, right? So I've gone to cemeteries all over the world, let me tell you. It's kind of cool when you look through people who were buried in like the 1700s and you're like, oh, who's that?
I used to do that all the time when I was younger. I would go through like, there's a really, really old cemetery where I grew up. Yeah. And we would do that thing where we take the paper and the crayon and like do the whatever they call it. The etchings on the headstones just because we thought it was so cool that someone was buried here like hundreds of years ago. It's pretty crazy.
200-300 years ago. It's kind of cool.
By the way, and cemeteries also, it's always a decent place to get high.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we tried doing that once when I was younger and it did not go well for one of my
friends. Didn't go well? Yeah.
You could also have some like really bad trips. Like you could kind of get spooked out.
Yeah, my little brother's friend actually started freaking out. He was like, you guys, I'm really scared. The light's flickering over there. And he totally lost it.
You know what I think is good though? Laughing. I like the headstones that have somebody's picture kind of on it, like etchings of a picture. So you get to picture who that is. Because
that is so expensive, though. Why spend all that money to die? Or why make your whole family spend that money when you die?
I don't know.
It's not that much more expensive to have the headstone design like that nowadays. Yeah. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
You know what would be really cool? Ooh, I just thought of an idea. Somebody should do this. Go make a lot of money. Holograms. when you walk by, it's like,
I'm sure that's in the works.
Yeah, it turns on. It's like a hologram of somebody talking.
It's like, hey, you over there.
It's like a Coachella.
Oh, no. Imagine cool. People that are high tripping out over that. No way.
Just popping up out of their
dude,
their
that's got to happen.
No,
yeah, right, somebody's going to do that.
Linz, what's next?
Okay, so Rob Riggle, the actor, has accused his estranged wife, Tiffany Riggle, of spying on him with a hidden camera and hacking into his Apple account.
Whoa.
The actor claimed in court documents that he and Tiffany were living in separate houses when he began to notice that she was privy to private conversations that he'd had in his office or his home. Mm. He alleged that she and other anonymous sources would text or email him referencing information from these conversations. So he had his home swept for devices back in April, and a spy camera was found hidden in his smoke detector.
Wow.
He claimed that the memory card inside this camera had over 10,000 videos with sound, leading him to believe it had been installed around August 2020. Now, this is a very extreme example of spying, but would you ever or have you ever spied on or even like creeped on one of your exes? Swipe left or swipe right?
Creeped on an ex.
This is a loaded question.
Have you ever needed to get into Nevin's email for some reason, Momo?
Yes.
You have. Did you have to crack the code?
No, I just texted him and said, what's your password? And I'll tell you, okay, I'm not going to name names, okay, but I will tell a story.
Hold on.
A vague general story.
How long did it take for him to respond with the
password? Oh, right away. Yeah, okay. He can get into my email and I can get into his.
All right, cool.
But we both have a level of trust of like, well, we don't go in there unless there's a reason. And,
right.
You know, and I think you can usually tell too, if somebody goes in your email, like the messages have been read now. Like it's obvious.
Yeah, it shows there, right? That they've been read. Yeah. Exactly.
So, okay. So there was one time though that I went in and I think it was just like an ex had emailed him and I was upset. I was like, why is she emailing you? Mm. Like, I was like upset. And I didn't actually read the email, but I could see kind of what it was about. It was just like a chatty email. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm going to put my foot down on that. So, like, there's just not that many things that you can do that are in this space at all, that are at all safe for a relationship.
Like, yeah.
It was really not that bad of an email, but it was
upset. I'll tell
you
one thing. I am glad I'm not divorced. I have so many friends who are divorced and talk about
totally
the burden of it and the spousal payments and all that. That's one of the reasons I'm not married is I don't want to get divorced.
Okay.
Don't you think? Isn't that a good reason?
Wait, but I thought your relationship is forever, so why would that even matter? Why would that even be a thought?
Yeah, things happen, Linz.
It is forever, but why do it?
Okay, I can give you a much longer answer than you're looking for here. But, I think it's fraught. That whole thing is fraught. And I don't even think it's just with marriages. Like, it's coworker relationships. So we have, like, when somebody's your coworker, you're, like, on the same team and you share things and you're behind the scenes. And all of a sudden somebody goes and works for, like, a rival and you're like, oh, I wish I'd not told them all that.
Right.
Wait, Mason,
know
you
a lot of things. Are we still on the same team here? I mean, how long is this bond?
Oh, no. I feel like when somebody goes and works somewhere else, immediately it's like that relationship, the work relationship and confidence and trust, it's completely gone. Completely.
And Mace, like,
yeah,
you
like
and
I
have shared
I
some
never,
things.
I never talk to Marcellus Wiley anymore because I can't find him. I don't even know where Marcellus
Wiley is.
He's
got like
is.
Eight
he
kids
just,
now.
Just,
so,
he just disappeared.
Yeah, he's got
he disappeared.
It's not personal, though. He got like eight kids.
Mace, you didn't answer the question, though. Have you ever spied on or creeped on an ex?
The answer is
yes. Let's
yeah,
be serious.
Come on. If you have to,
you're a very
you're
curious
pausing,
person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I am. I am a control freak, and yes, I have spied not on Juan, but on others over the years. Yeah.
Anything good?
yeah. I mean, it's a good way to find out somebody's not being faithful.
Oh,
it's a good way to do that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when you talk about like control freaks and relationships and whatever. So I dated a guy in high school for years and, you know, we were going to run off and get married and have kids. And I thank God I never did that because he lives in Georgia now in the middle of nowhere where they go to Walmart for fun. But anyway,
I've done that. Raise your hand if you've done that.
Yeah,
go to Walmart for fun.
Yeah.
No, like that's the only thing to do in their whole town. So anyways, like, you know, probably like 5 years later or whatever, like it had, you know, we broke up after high school, whatever. 5 years later, I like requested him on Facebook because I found him on Facebook And I guess his new wife had made his Facebook account, and she saw that I had friend requested him. So she blocked me and like everybody that I knew and like sent all these nasty messages to me. And I was like, geez, somebody's insecure.
Yeah.
Like, we've been broken. We haven't spoke to each other in 5 years. Relax.
Wow. Okay. What's next? Much.
All right. Well, if you've ever wanted to spend the night inside the historic Dr. Pepper House in Waco, Texas, now you can. This is your cooler than average house. It was built in 1885 by Dr. Pepper's founder, and the stunning home was renovated in the early 2000s by Christian rock singer David Crowder, and it's now available to rent on Airbnb. It's a 5-bedroom home with a sprawling backyard and pool, hot tub, and cabana. It has a 5-star Airbnb rating. For those interested in renting the Dr. Pepper house, you can expect to pay between $1,000 and $2,500 per night. Ooh. Would you guys ever spend this much per night for a quote-unquote special Airbnb? Swipe left or swipe right?
Not in Waco.
Yeah, not in Waco. That's a good point. And I don't care about the founder of Dr. Pepper. That makes no difference to me either. We did rent one time for the whole family. My dad, my mom, a bunch of friends, my aunt, my nephew, all this stuff, cousin. We rented a house that was owned by Alan Ladd, who was a big movie star in the 50s and the 60s. And it was cool. It was a really cool experience. It was a beautiful house, but we all pitched in for it because otherwise it would have been way too expensive for any one person. So, yeah, I would say that was actually cool to do. I like renting. I like VRBO. I like renting a house and going there for a week. That's what I did during the pandemic when I did come up on the occasional vacation. I would go out to the desert.
Occasional.
All I know is I filled in a lot of weeks.
Yes, you did. The pandemic.
I'm always available.
So I like the idea of renting a house. I don't like the idea of paying $2,500 a night, and I don't like the idea of going to Waco.
I don't like the idea of renting a house. Is that
no?
Weird?
Why?
I don't know. I just don't feel like it's safe. I just feel like I'm being watched. I feel like I can't be me. Taking,
really?
Yeah. I can't do it. I can't.
Have you tried?
I feel like you're just
I haven't done
much...
it either. Yeah.
No. I've always stayed at a hotel or anything like that, but at a house, at somebody's house that's renting it out, it's weird to me.
We don't know exactly.
But there's a difference between VRBO and Airbnb. Airbnb is just like somebody's giving up their house.
It's the same. It's the exact same thing, Mason. VRBO has houses. It's the exact same thing.
Airbnb is different to me. Airbnb is I'm living in someone's apartment and I'm
so
eating
VRBO.
Peanut butter out of their cabinet. Okay, VRBO places are strictly for rental.
Oh.
No, it's not. The people can live there,
Well, the
too.
Ones I go to are strictly for rental. Okay. Nobody lives there. They're strictly for rental.
So the other thing
rental.
I would say about spending lots of money on places, I have not ever gotten myself to a place where I would spring for that. Like, usually, I'll spend a certain amount. Like, once you do it once, like, I've stayed at really nice places, but usually I just, like, use my Marriott points. Like, if it's going to be something like that, or I did kind of a package deal and I'm not thinking, oh my God, this is $300 or $400 a night, right? Or whatever it is. Like, I'll go to there if I'm on a really nice vacation and it's part of a package that I did, or, you know, combine the air and hotel, or I use a travel agent and you just kind of pay a certain fee, right? And it's, but I don't know, $2,500 a night. Like,
oh, that's crazy. I would never do that.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
You know,
all right,
it just feels
I just want to say
I'd rather
one thing,
go someplace nice. Yeah.
One thing I've noticed about Airbnb, it's not as bad with VRBO because I did compare, but Airbnb, ever since the pandemic started, they have completely jacked up the prices.
Yep.
And in most cases now, it's actually more expensive than just staying in a hotel. And I noticed one of the things is like the cleaning fees. Like when we were in Hawaii, we stayed in three different Airbnbs because my friend had she won an Airbnb gift card. And we noticed that one of the places, we only stayed there for one night or two nights, and they want you to do all this cleaning where they're like, make sure you take out the trash and you leave all of the, you know, you do, they wanted us to like take all the sheets off the bed and like do all this stuff. And then they charged us a $370 cleaning fee.
After
and
you
I was
did
like,
a lot of the cleaning.
Yeah, so when we left, we didn't do all of that stuff, and I left a comment on her Airbnb. It was private. I didn't make it public because I didn't want to be a Karen, but I was like, I think it's a little ridiculous that you're requesting people to do all of this cleaning, and then you're going to turn around and charge them
that much for two nights. I could understand if you're staying there for like a couple weeks or a month, but yeah. for two nights, you're going to charge me that much cleaning fee and clean yeah. up after myself? No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. The people I hate on the Yelp are the ones that write, and you know who you are. They're the ones that after you stay somewhere, you go to a restaurant or you go to any sort of business, and then you leave a message on Yelp saying worst of the worst. There's always
never done
worst,
that?
Yeah.
There's always a worst of the worst person on every place that I look at, every restaurant, every hotel. Somebody has said worst of the worst, and it's a cliche, and I don't believe it, and I think it's sabotaging
yeah,
a business.
It really is.
It worst of the worst, nobody should ever write on Yelp. Nobody should ever write that.
Now everybody's going to do that.
Now everybody's going
to
do it.
It's just terrible to do to people's business now. So much of it is on Yelp reviews. Ugh.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. All right, coming up next for you, the most disgusting thing ever from a fast food restaurant.
Oh.
And the quandary of Rob Pelinka and putting together a Lakers team that can win a championship in 2022. That is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.